From La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 41 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. With my co-host, Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we really appreciate you joining us this week. And if you like what you hear, do us a favor and subscribe, rate the show, write a brief review. Any of that would really help us out. And as the calendar turns to April, our focus shifts to spring sports.
That's right, Jeff. Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we'll chat with Luke Mattson, a senior right-handed pitcher on the Tritons baseball team. He reflects on his winding path to get to UC San Diego, what it was like pitching in the College World Series, and how he's making the most of his second senior season. Plus, back by popular demand, it's the return of our Quick Pick segment. Our conversation with Luke Mattson comes your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. Remember Gabe Hadley from episode 30? He recently signed a pro contract with a basketball team in his native Australia. Congrats, Gabe. We look forward to following your professional career. Elsewhere, the track and field programs are set to host the Triton Invite on campus this weekend. It'll be their first home event in nearly 2 years. Read more on UCSDTritons.com.
Wow, another busy weekend coming up. Going to be fun. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with UC San Diego baseball senior righty, Luke Mattson.
Luke, how old were you when you started playing baseball?
I was 4 years old when I started playing baseball.
Can you remember that pretty vividly?
I don't really remember it very much, but I have like some of my earliest memories are definitely on the baseball field, that's for sure.
Did you play other sports growing up?
I played 1 year of tackle football, but other than that, it's just been all baseball all the time, year round, pretty much.
And when you were a youngster, what positions did you play?
I kind of moved around a lot more than I do now. Obviously now I'm only a pitcher, but when I first started, second base, shortstop, third base. And then when I went to high school, I was just a pitcher and a third baseman until my junior year. And that's when they decided to have me stop hitting and just become a pitcher only. So I've been a pitcher only for the last 8 or 9 years or so.
So to make sure I have this straight, you haven't had an at-bat since your junior year of high school, is that right?
Yeah.
Were you a good hitter?
No, I was a very bad hitter. My defense was okay, but I was pretty bad at the dish. So that was the main reason that they kept me on the mound. But I actually did get my last at bat was, I got one on senior night, my senior year. I got hit with a pitch, so I didn't even get a chance to swing the bat.
Yeah, but that helps the OBP.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. Yeah.
So who taught you how to pitch?
I guess my dad, but when I was younger, it was my dad. And then, just kind of figured stuff out on my own and then started to see pitching coaches probably like around the time I got into high school. So there's been a couple of people. The main one is my old travel ball coach. His name is Mike Cosgrove, runs the SoCal Birds. I still, to this day, will go back home and I'll go throw bullpens with him. We have a pretty good relationship. So it's nice having somebody like him to be able to come back to and get feedback. Besides obviously getting feedback from Coach Harvey and the other coaches here at UCSD.
And as far as your pitch arsenal, what do you throw?
So right now I have a four-seam fastball, a cut fastball, and then a curveball. Still working a little bit on trying to get a two-seam into the arsenal, but that's still a work in progress. So just those main three right now.
So like a four seam versus a cut, what's the difference in what the pitch is supposed to do?
So a four seam, I mean, it's supposed to go straight. Mine actually has like a tiny bit of cut to it, to my glove side, to my left side, away from a right-handed hitter. And then what I call my cutter is kind of more like a slider. It has some pretty decent amount of right to left break. It stays on like relatively the same plane, but the cutter just moves more to the left. That makes sense.
And when you're throwing one pitch versus the other, is that based on how you grip the ball?
Yeah, it's all pretty much on grips. I try to keep the same like mindset every pitch with like how I'm throwing it and with the intent that I'm throwing it with. The only thing that really changes is where I'm trying to throw it in the strike zone, and then obviously the grip depending on which pitch I'm trying to throw, but everything else pretty much stays the same.
Was there a point in high school where you had your mind made up that you wanted to continue playing baseball and pitching in college?
I mean, that wasn't like a specific moment, I would say. Like, playing college baseball and having the opportunity to potentially sign a professional contract has always been my goal. It's always been my dream. So, you know, it was pretty cool once I started to get some looks from colleges towards the end of my junior year. And like, I guess that would be the time when like I kind of had that realization that I was like, wow, like this could actually happen. Like I could actually go play in college and potentially give myself the chance to play even further than that. So I would say it was always on my mind, but I guess that was like kind of like the eye-opening moment where I was like, wow, like this is real. Like I actually have this this amazing opportunity to do that. So
you mentioned travel ball a moment ago. Did you have any favorite places that you traveled to compete?
Arizona is a good one. We always would go to Arizona once or twice a year during the summer. Obviously, it's super hot out there, but always great competition, always a great atmosphere. And it also, you know, it was super cool getting to play on the backfields of the spring training facilities. Always exciting to be out there with the guys, no matter what the weather was like. So I would say Arizona, or I went to Florida once. Florida was all right, but I got to go with Arizona, I think.
That humidity is a little bit different, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. It's it was pretty bad in Florida when I went the one time. Arizona is more of like a dry heat, obviously. So it's a little more bearable.
But parts of Arizona, you have the altitude to deal with. Does that affect how you pitch?
I wouldn't say it ever really affected how I pitched. We were typically in like the Phoenix area. So it wasn't usually too bad. I would say the heat definitely had more of a factor than anything else.
When you graduated from high school, you started at the University of Nevada. How did you end up there?
So UNR was one of the schools that, you know, was recruiting me my junior year. Got the opportunity to go on campus. I liked it a lot. I was a big fan of the coaches. Liked the atmosphere. Ended up going there, only threw about 5 innings or so, I think. And, you know, essentially was told after the season that I didn't know how much playing time I was going to get. All this. And so I, you know, made the decision to leave and go back home, attend Golden West College, a junior college, about 25, 30 minutes away from my home, which is in Orange. Golden West is in Huntington Beach. So, you know, it was tough. It was definitely a tough first year. But I learned a lot about myself and learned a lot about the game. And I was able to, you know, kind of take what I learned and apply that. To perform, you know, relatively well at Golden West. I mean, well enough to get the opportunity to come to this amazing school and play Division II baseball for 2 years, and then play Division I baseball this year, obviously. So, it was a learning experience. It wasn't easy at all when I was going through it, but you know, it definitely made me stronger, made me a better person, also made me a better pitcher. So I'm thankful for the opportunity that they gave me to, you know, go out there and show what I had. And I have no, you know, grudges held or anything like that against anybody. It was a good opportunity for me, and it got me to where I am today. So no complaints.
I would have to think that's a really tough conversation for them to have. And of course, obviously for you to hear. How did you absorb it, process it, and then, as you noted, get over it and decide to continue to forge ahead?
It was tough for sure. You know, I had doubts about myself, doubts about my abilities. Definitely took a couple of days to sink in really what had just happened. But I mean, there was a point where I was considering, you know, potentially not even playing after that. But I don't know. I just stuck with it, had a good conversation with my parents. You know, they reminded me like how long I've spent, how much time I've spent on this, you know, the passion that I have for the game. And it was, you know, I was able to kind of rejuvenate that and then use that energy towards my next season.
Right. So you almost took it as motivation when you were at Golden West. When you were at Golden West, was it nice being able to have family close by and come see you pitch?
Oh yeah, super nice. I mean, my parents always do a good job of coming out and showing up when I pitch. I mean, they did it, and they've done it in Washington, and they've done it in Iowa both times for summer ball. And then, I mean, they went to Reno a couple times and went to other places. But obviously it was nice. You know, I was able to come back and live at home, which was cool. And then, yeah, I mean, not only was it, you know, nice to come home to them every day, but also nice to see them in the stands at all times, especially because we were so close and everybody else that we were playing was so close too. So they were there for all the games that I pitched. And I mean, it's the same thing here. One of the cool things about being in San Diego is not too far, a little over an hour away from home. So it is, it's really cool to have awesome and supportive parents that, you know, will always go out of their way to show up, especially when I'm playing. So that definitely was a cool opportunity.
Luke Mattson is our guest this week on TritonCast. So you're at Golden West. Take us through how you ended up at UC San Diego from there.
Yeah, so I was getting talked to by the old coaches here before Coach Harvey and Coach LeBlanc and Coach Ramazzotti and Coach Beck were hired. So I got recruited by the old coaching staff. They brought me onto the campus. I had a meeting with Coach Newman in his office. Got a tour of the campus, everything like that. Watched a game. This was so the year before, which would have been my freshman year. They had won the West Regional, gone to the World Series, and then this year they were on track to do the same thing. Ended up getting two or three guys drafted from that team, and so UCSD had always been one of my top schools. Obviously, it's a incredible. Academic wise. So that, you know, was just another reason to do it. But it was never about like Division 1 or Division 2 or Division 3. Like I just wanted to go somewhere that was going to give me an opportunity to play. And you know, UCSD was able to do that. We, you know, that year they ended up winning the West Regional again, going to the World Series, and then we ended up doing that my first year here as well. So, you know, to be able to play for a top-tier Division II program was a very cool thing. You know, winning over 40 games a year, it was pretty sweet. It's pretty awesome to be a part of. So, yeah, I would say that's about how it happened.
And when you decided to come to UC San Diego, how did you acclimate yourself into a program that, as you noted, has already been very successful? How'd you fit in?
I mean, you know, just trying to, I don't know necessarily fit in is the right word, but just like learning the culture, learning how we do things here. But also not allowing that to get me outside of who I am and the person and the player that I want to be, because obviously that, like, that's what got me there, but it's totally different at different schools. Like, so I don't know. I would say like the biggest thing was just learning, you know, learning how we do things here. And, I mean, I'm a big fan of it now. I love how we do things here. I love how we play baseball. But I would say I didn't really have to change anything. A little bit of acclimation for sure. But I tried to stay true to myself and just, you know, be the person that they recruited, because they obviously recruited me for a reason. So
when you first got to UC San Diego, you noted that 2019 season, the team won 41 games and had tremendous success in the postseason, reaching the College World Series. What was it like to go through that?
It was pretty awesome. That is definitely, I would have to say, probably the top memory that I have so far playing baseball. I mean, we played, you know, every team there was a really good team. Obviously, it was super unfortunate that we ended up, you know, losing our second and third games, getting kicked out of the tournament. But, I mean, just to have that experience and to have that opportunity, to be able to go and, you know, be there with the other best Division II teams in the country, like to be able to compete on that kind of level, on that scale was, I mean, like I said, it was incredible. Something that I will definitely never forget. So
that year you made 10 starts, and last year and this year strictly out of the bullpen. What's the difference in terms of mindset or approach?
I wouldn't say, yeah, I know what you mean. I wouldn't say that I really try to have like a different approach. Obviously, as a starter, you're trying to go more innings, trying to like have that longevity. So part of being in the bullpen is I don't have to really worry about that as much. But I mean, I'm at my best when I'm just focusing on the next pitch, like whatever is in front of me. So regardless of that, if it's in the first inning of the start or if it's the ninth inning and this is my second inning of the game and I'm, you know, trying to get a six out save, like I'm not trying to really change anything with my mentality or with anything like that. Like I try to approach it the same, and I just try to, I mean, like I said before, stay true to myself, like be the pitcher that I know that I can be and that I want to be. And then not let the situation dictate anything or change anything. Just stick to what I know, I guess.
You told us a little bit earlier about your arsenal and what you throw. What's your get out of a jam, I need a strikeout pitch?
Last year, I would say it was my curveball. But I started throwing the cutter, after last season got canceled. So all throughout quarantine and stuff. And right now I would say that's probably my go-to, is the cutter.
Over the weekend against Long Beach, you struck out the side. The last two were with the bases loaded. Is that what did it? Was it the cutter?
Yeah. Those were cutters.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about last year. It was your senior year. We all know that the pandemic hit, the season was cut short. Take us through that. How did you find out that the season was over? What did Coach Newman tell you guys?
So it was, I think it was a Wednesday, so the day before our season or our series that weekend had been canceled, because this is when, you know, COVID really started to hit the United States and the numbers are going up and up in crazy amounts every single day. So our series that weekend had been canceled. So, and then that morning there was like two or three other conferences that canceled their entire seasons. I was sitting there with my roommates and I was like, oof, like this is not looking good for us. And, you know, obviously last year we started off really well. I think we played 21 games. We were 17-4. We had our mindset on carry again. We had our mindset on going there for a third time and, or a fourth time, I think actually, and winning it all. So, you know, we had a team meeting, it was like 10 or 11 o'clock. Coach Newman walks in and, you know, basically tells us that the CCA has decided to cancel our season. The NCAA had decided to cancel the championship already. And I mean, we were just, you know, in utter disbelief, especially us six seniors, because, you know, it was like, we were so intent on making it to carry. We were so intent on winning. Like everybody was bought into the goal. Everybody was bought into the process. And you know, for us six seniors, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if they were going to grant us another year of eligibility, or we didn't know if we were going to get the opportunity to play again. Like we didn't know. We just didn't know, you know? So it was pretty tough at first for sure. Obviously, you know, everything has worked out now, and four of us six, were able to come back and still be on the team this year and perform, and compete. So, you know, it was tough. It was tough for sure though. Quarantine was long and yeah, it was tough, but here we are, you know, back on the side of it, getting to compete in the Big West. So everything happens for a reason. I guess I can't have too many complaints.
When the NCAA declared that an extra year of eligibility was an option, was that an easy decision for you to come back?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously it was dependent on, the coaches and what their thought process was, but they were all for, you know, having me back and welcoming me back onto the team. It was never like once that came out, there was never a moment where I was like, I'm not going to do that. Like it was always, I was 100% ready to do it.
And how did you spend the rest of that spring and summer staying in shape, and how did what did the team do in terms of, was it Zoom workouts, or how did you guys stay in touch and stay in shape?
So yeah, we had Zoom meetings, like I would say probably like once every 2 weeks. And then I actually live with, I live with four of my teammates. So they sent us out a program to do on our own. We are lucky enough to have a little set up here in our garage. So, you know, we were just working out three or four times a week. We would throw three times a week, with a bullpen at the end of the week. So we were still, you know, because I mean, at first, especially, we were still hopeful that the season would get like restarted, you know, we still had hopes of potentially playing the end of our season, still getting the chance to go to carry. So, you know, we were just, like I said, in here working out, playing ping pong, playing catch. That was pretty much it. It was not very eventful, to be honest, but we got through it.
And then in the fall, coming back to campus and resuming practices, but they certainly were a lot different than what practices were in the past. What did that take to get used to kind of the new normal?
Yeah, it was weird for sure at first. I mean, we usually have a couple of weeks of individuals, but almost half of our fall practice time was just small group individuals with our position coaches. We weren't able to have a full blown inner squad with the whole team at the field until like week 8 or something of fall quarter. So that was totally completely different, because normally, you know, we're playing two or three inner squads a week for all 6 weeks of team practice that we have. So that definitely took some getting used to, and, you know, not being able to use the locker room, not being able to hang out with the entire team outside of the field. I wouldn't say it was bothersome, but you know, it was definitely a bummer, and we didn't really get to connect at the team that much at the beginning of the fall, which, you know, obviously is not going to be easy for any team. But I think we've done a pretty good job of, you know, keeping the camaraderie and like working with each other and being good teammates and stuff like that. So I think we are, you know, I think we're at a pretty good spot now with regards to that, but it definitely was tough at first, especially in the fall.
On an individual level, did you feel like you were in the shape you needed to be in and kind of game ready?
Definitely. I mean, it took me, I would say at the beginning of the fall, it definitely took me a little bit to get back. I mean, the fall is never, you know, nobody's ever really going to be like 100% sharp all the time, especially in the fall. We kind of get beat up with workouts and conditioning, and obviously school here is not a super easy task. So, you know, it was tough, but once I kind of got back into the swing of things, back in the, you know, getting the hang of it back, I wouldn't say it was too bad. And I mean, now it's, you know, I mean, it's not normal, obviously, but it's as close to normal as we can get. So feeling pretty good about it.
I know it's definitely still very different, even though games are fortunately taking place in terms of spacing in and adjacent to the dugout and two buses on the road and those kinds of things. How different has it been in terms of protocol?
I mean, super different. Like, you know, we, like you said, we can't have the whole team in the dugout, which like is obviously huge. So we have to, you know, we have to give out like extra, I mean, we don't have to, but you know, we give out like extra energy, especially down the sideline, like trying to hype our guys up because we can't actually like be in the dugout with them. It's not, you know, definitely different for sure. And then, I mean, you know, we have other things like we are in groups in the locker room. We can't all be in there in the same time, which like, that's like a huge spot for, you know, just like post game hangouts or pre-practice hangouts or anything like that. So it's all, you know, it's definitely, I'm more used to it now, because we've been doing it for so many months, but it definitely still I guess I would say a little frustrating, but this is what we have to do. And, you know, it's worth it. Like, obviously we're still getting the opportunity to play baseball. We're still getting the opportunity to come out here every day and practice and compete against the best teams, you know, some of the best teams in the country. So if this is what it's going to take, we're going to do it. Like, you know what I mean? It's whatever, like this is, especially for me, like this is my last year in college. Like I'm going to do whatever it takes to be able to go out on that field and perform.
And how hard has it been for you with your parents not being able to attend games in person?
I mean, it definitely is. It's a little tough, but you know, the school has done a great job, especially with the partnering with ESPN. The fact that all of our games or almost all of our home games are on ESPN3 is awesome. So, I mean, I know that they, as well as, you know, other family members are always watching the games, always supporting me, rooting me on, even if they're not there in person. So I do like to take pride in that, that like I do know that even though they're not there in person, they're still supporting me. They're still, you know, doing all that. So it definitely is different, not having fans in the stands for sure, but we're getting used to it.
That is awesome that they are watching the games and you can tell that they're and feel their support, even though they're not there. What's it been like competing in the Big West this year?
Fun. You know, it's obviously the teams that we're playing are no joke. We, you know, obviously had a pretty rough start, 3-9 in our first three, but I think we've settled in a little bit. But, you know, every day is a new day. We just have to continue to attack every day, continue to attack every day at practice, every game day, you know, every time we go out is a new opportunity to prove ourselves. You know, we are thought of as the bottom of the pack. Nobody really is expecting us to do super well. Nobody thinks we're going to do super well. Like, we just got to go out there with a chip on our shoulder and, you know, perform to the best of our abilities. Like I said, it's totally different playing in the Big West versus the CCAA, but it's all right. Like I said, we're getting used to it. We're getting used to the better competition, and we're just trusting in our stuff. You know, trying to not let that outside noise get to us. Just trying to stay within ourselves and, you know, play to the best of our abilities and let the chips fall where they may.
You're a communications major in sixth college and just earned your degree. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's next for you after this season?
I mean, I'm not really sure, honestly. Like I said before, I would love to have the opportunity to play professional baseball. But if not that, then I have a couple of options. I could potentially, my dad owns his own construction business, so I could try to get into that. Or my other option is to just, you know, find some sort of entry-level job in a company that has similar values with me, and then try to, like, move up in that company. So I'm pretty open. I don't really have any super big plans yet, but it's still early. I still have time to figure it all out. So,
yes, you most certainly do. And what about hobbies off the field? What do you enjoy doing in free time?
Like hiking, going to the beach, really anything outdoors. Like, I'm a big outdoors person. I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy my sleep and my time in bed as well. But when I'm not doing that, I like to be outside. Like I said, hiking, camping. My family and I go camping all the time. Other little things like that. Anything outdoors, I'm in.
Love it. All right, Luke, you ready for some quick picks?
Yeah.
Good. You have to be.
Do it.
All right. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Does that mean you're more night owl than morning person?
100%.
All right. So let me put it in baseball terms. Day game or night game?
Oh, I got to go night game. There's not much better than playing under the light.
Do you pitch better at night?
I mean, maybe I like to think so. But I don't really see a huge difference. It's just a personal preference thing, I guess.
Fair enough. Favorite food?
Pizza.
Favorite pizza topping?
Bacon bits.
Interesting. What's one thing about you that would surprise even your friends?
One thing about me that would surprise my friend. I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, this is kind of lame, but I wear contacts. That's kind of interesting.
I don't think it's lame.
I don't know. I don't really have much else, honestly. That's a tough one.
All right. Well, we'll allow that. Game day superstitions.
Too many to say in this. I mean, we'll go with main ones. I always put on my left cleat before my right cleat. Before I get on the mound in my first inning, I crouch behind and I draw a little cross and then I kick it away with my cleat. This isn't just a game day superstition. This is every day, but I always put in my left contact before my right. So those are just a couple to give you an idea.
It's good stuff. What about a favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday. I mean, Easter's up there. Yesterday I was able to go home and spend some time with my family for Easter. So that was awesome. And I guess I'd have to say probably Christmas. Not because of the gifts, just because that was always the time where both my brother and I would be home, because he's a couple years older than me and he was in college, around the same time that I was. So that was always a fun time because either I was coming back and he was at home or vice versa. I was at home and he was coming back. So, that was always a good time to have all five of my family members together.
That is fantastic. Reading or writing?
Writing, but I'm not a huge fan of both.
Fair enough. First celebrity crush?
Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay. Favorite type of music?
That's tough. I like country and I like rap, but I would say my top right now is reggae music. I've been listening to a lot of reggae recently.
If they told you next week you were getting an at bat, what's your walk-up song?
I probably go with my second inning pitching song. It's called Blind to You. It just talks about like being blind to the haters because people would be like, oh, what's this pitcher doing up here? But it doesn't matter.
So you have a second inning song? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, so I have two walkouts. Left Hand Free by Alt J plays in my first inning. And then Blind to You by Collie Buds is my second inning song.
That's also fascinating. All right. Ice cream. Favorite flavor?
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
And is there a favorite ice cream shop or does that work from anywhere?
From anywhere. But if we're talking like Ben and Jerry's, then I'd have to go Cherry Garcia. Cherry Garcia is my favorite Ben and Jerry's for sure.
All right. We talked about it earlier in terms of travel ball, but we'll open it up to just anytime you've been playing baseball at any level. Favorite road trip so far? Or maybe it's the same answer.
Yeah, I mean, going to Cary was definitely one of my favorites. And I'm really looking forward to going to Hawaii this year. I had the opportunity to do that my freshman year when I was at UNR. We played at University of Hawaii. So I'm very excited for that opportunity. To get to go there again and spend some time there. So,
yeah, definitely. And we'll end with this one. Is there a favorite mound you've pitched off of?
I mean, my favorite mound I've ever pitched on would be Angel Stadium. I was trying out for a scout team and they had the tryout at Angel Stadium. I mean, I'm an Angels fan. I've been an Angels fan my whole life. I grew up going to that stadium. So being able to pitch on that mound was a pretty special experience and something that I definitely will never forget. But if we're talking this year, so far, I would have to say USD. USD had a pretty nice mound.
Good stuff. Luke, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Wow, Jeff, what a great conversation with Luke. So interesting to hear about his baseball journey. And I thought it was really amazing at the end there, how he was talking about how he had the opportunity to pitch at the pitching mound at Angel Stadium. I mean, that's got to be such a cool experience growing up as a fan. And then you get that once in a lifetime opportunity to actually pitch where the Angels pitch.
What a thrill, right, Jenny? And to do it, as you said, not only on a big league mound, but it was on a big league mound for the team you grew up cheering for. That is so cool. I think for me, how resolute he was and how determined he was when given the chance after last season was cut short, there was no doubt in his mind that when given the opportunity, when the NCAA granted that extra year of eligibility, he knew he had unfinished business. He knew he had more to prove and he was determined to come back this year. And it's great to see him taking advantage of that.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously everyone's circumstances are different, but I mean, that was definitely a big obstacle and just facing it head on in the way that he did and just getting past that and coming back again is just so awesome. And it's great to see him have that success.
No question about it. You won't want to miss an all new episode of Triton Cast next week. We'll chat with Stuart Boynton of the men's rowing team. Stuart shares what it was like coming to UC San Diego all the way from Cape Town, South Africa. New episodes of Triton Cast premiere each Wednesday.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Verbal.
I don't know. It's been a few weeks. We need to add some new platforms. For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter. We're at TritonCast on that platform. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest, you can send us a tweet or email Jenny and me. We're at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.